Jake jumped lightly down from the hole, laying a trail of gasoline from the can he carried as he backed up to where Gareth waited. "Hurry. Everyone out of the way," Gareth called again. Gregorius was laying a wet trail of gasoline back to Gareth. "Somebody go get that old bastard out of the way," Gareth called with exasperation. A single figure pranced and howled and lallooed on the nearest tank, and Jake and Gregorius dropped the empty cans and raced back. Ducking under the swinging arc of the sword, Jake got an arm round the Russ's skinny, bony chest, swung him bodily off his feet and passed him down to his grandson. Between them, they carried him away to safety, still howling and struggling. Gareth struck one of the swan vestas and casually lit the cheroot in his mouth. When it was drawing nicely, he cupped the match to let the flame flare brightly. "Here we go, chaps," he murmured. "Guy Fawkes Guy, stick him in the eye, hanging on the lamppost." He flicked the burning match onto the gasoline-sodden earth. "And leave him there to die." For a moment, nothing happened. And then with a thump that concussed the air against their eardrums, the gasoline ignited. Instantly, the belt of scrub turned to a tall, roaring red inferno, and the flames boiled and swirled, leapt and drummed high into the desert air, engulfing the four stranded tanks in sheets of fire that obscured their menacing silhouettes. The Ethiopians watched from the dunes, awed by the terrible pageant of destruction they had created. Only the Russ still danced and howled at the edge of the flames, the blade of his sword reflecting the red, leaping flames. The hatches of the nearest tank were thrown open, and out into the searing air leapt three figures, indistinct and shadowy through the flames. Beating wildly at their burning uniforms, the tank crew came staggering out onto the slope of the dune. The Russ flew to meet them, the sword hissing and glinting as it swung. The head of the tank commander seemed to leap from his fire-blackened shoulders as the blade cut through. The head struck the ground beside him and rolled back down the dune like a ball, while the decapitated trunk dropped to its knees with a fine crimson spray from the neck pumping straight up into the air. The Russ raced on towards the other survivors, and his men roared angrily and swarmed forward after him. Jake uttered a horrified oath and started forward to restrain them. "Easy, old son." Gareth caught Jake's arm and swung him away. "This is no time for one of your Boy Scout acts." From below them rose the ugly blood roar of the destroyers as they fell upon the survivors of the other tanks, and the Italian's screams cut like a whiplash across Jake's nerves. "Leave them to it." Gareth drew Jake away. "Not our business, old boy. The beggars have got to take their own chances. Rules of the game." Across the crest of the dune, they leaned together against the steel hull of Priscilla. Jake was panting heavily from his exertions and his horror. Gareth found him a slightly crumpled cheroot in the inside pocket of his tweed jacket and straightened it carefully before placing it between Jake's lips. "Told you before, your sentimental but endearing ways will get us both into trouble. They'd have torn you to pieces also if you'd gone down there." He lit Jake's cheroot. "Well, old boy," he changed the subject diplomatically, "that takes care of our biggest problem. No tanks, no worries. That's old Swales's family motto." And he chuckled lightly. "We'll be able to hold them at the mouth of the gorge for another week now. No trouble at all." Abruptly, the sunlight was obscured, and instantly the temperature dropped sharply. Both of them glanced up involuntarily at the sky, at the gloom and sudden chill. In the last hour, the masses of cloud had come slumping down from the mountains, blotting them out completely and spreading out onto the fringes of the Danakil Desert. From this thick, dark mattress of swirling cloud, fine, pale streamers of rain were already spiralling down towards the plain. Jake felt a droplet splatter against his forehead, and he wiped it away with the back of his hand. "I say, we're in for a drop or two," murmured Gareth. And as if in confirmation, the deep mutter of thunder echoed down from the cloud-shrouded mountains. And lightning flared sulkily, trapped with the towering cloud masses and lighting them internally with a smouldering infernal glow. That's going to make things... Gareth cut himself off short, and both of them cocked their heads. Hello? That's decidedly odd. Faintly on the brooding air, carrying above the mutter of thunder, came the popping of musketry and the sound of machine-gun fire, like the sound of tearing silk, made indistinct and unwarlike by distance and the muting banks of heavy cloud. Deuced odd, Gareth repeated. There shouldn't be any firing from there. It was in their rear, seeming to come from the very mouth of the gorge itself. Come on, snapped Jake, picking his binoculars out of Priscilla's hatch and scrambling through the loose red sand for the crest of the tallest dune. The cloud and misty streamers of rain obscured the mouth of the gorge, but now the sound of gunfire was continuous. That's not just a skirmish, muttered Gareth. It's a full-scale firefight, Jake agreed, peering through the binoculars. What is it, Jake? Gregorius came up the dune to where they stood. He was followed by his grandfather, but the old man moved slowly, exhausted and stiff with age and the aftermath of burned-out passions. We don't know yet, Greg. Jake didn't lower the binoculars. I don't understand it. Gareth shook his head. Any Italian probe from the south would have run into our positions in the foothills, and from the north it would have run into the Gallus. Rascolar is in a pretty strong spot there. We would have heard the fighting. It can't have gone through there. And we're here in the centre, Jake added. They didn't come through here. Doesn't make sense. At that moment, the Ras reached the crest. He paused wearily and removed the teeth from his mouth, wrapped them carefully in a kerchief, and tucked them away in some secret recess of his shama. The mouth collapsed into a dark, empty pit, and immediately looked his age again. Quickly, Gregorius explained this new phenomenon to the old man, and while he listened, he ran the blade of his sword into the dune between his feet, scrubbing it clean of the clotted black blood in the dry, friable sand. He spoke suddenly, in his tremulous old man's voice. My grandfather says that Rascula is a piece of dried dung of venereal hyena, Gregorius translated quickly. And he says my uncle, Lige Mikhail, was wrong to treat with him, and that you were wrong to trust him. Now what the hell does that mean? Jake demanded fretfully, and lifted the binoculars, sweeping again towards the mouth of the Sardi Gorge, away across the undulating golden plain. Then he exclaimed again, damn it to hell. Everything's blowing up. Crazy woman, she promised me. She swore an oath that she'd keep out of it, for once. Now here she comes again. Emerging through the curtains of rain, indistinct under the dark rolling mass of cloud, throwing no dust column on the rain-dampened earth, the tiny, sand-coloured shape of Miss Wobbly came bowling towards them, with its distinctive, stately gait. Even at this distance, Jake could make out the dark speck of Sarah's head and the hatch of the high, old-fashioned turret. Jake started to run down the slip face of the dune to meet the oncoming car. Jake! Vicky screeched above the engine beat, before she came to a halt, a head thrust out of the driver's hatch, her golden hair shaking in the wind and her eyes huge in the pale, intense face. What the hell are you doing? Jake shouted back angrily. The Gallus! Vicky screeched. They've gone! Every last man of them, gone! She braked hard and tumbled down to the ground, so that Jake had to catch and steady her. What do you mean, gone? Gareth demanded, coming up at that moment. And Sarah answered him from Miss Wobbly's turret, with her dark eyes sparkling hotly. They went like smoke, like the dirty hill bandits they are. The left flank, Gareth explained. Nobody there. The Italians have come through, without firing a shot. Hundreds and hundreds of them. They are at the gorge. They have overrun the camp. Jake, they would have cut off all our own horari. It would have been a massacre. Sarah gave the order. In her grandfather's name, she ordered them to abandon the right flank. Oh, good Christ! They are trying to fight their way back into the gorge now, but the Italians are covering the mouth with machine guns. It's terrible, Jake. or the desert is thick with the dead. We've lost it all. Everything we gained at a single throw. It's all gone. This was a feint. The tanks were sent to draw us off. The main attack was through the left. But how did they know the Gallus had deserted?
As my grandfather says, never trust either a snake or a Gala.
Oh, Jake, we must hurry. Vicky shook his arm. They'll cut us off.
Right, snapped Gareth.
We'll have to get back into the gorge and rally them on the first line of defense in the gorge itself. Otherwise, they'll run straight back to Addis Ababa. He swung around to Gregorius. If we try and take these men, and he indicated the hundreds of half-naked, unarmed Harari, who were now straggling out of the dunes, if we try and take them back through the mouth of the gorge, they'll be shot to pieces by the Italian guns. Can they find their own way, on foot, up the mountain slopes?
They're mountain men,
Gregorius answered simply. Good. Tell them to work their way back and assemble at the first waterfall in the gorge. That's the rallying point. The first waterfall. He turned back to the others. On the other hand, we'll have to use the gorge. The only way to save the cars. We'll rush the mouth in a tight formation. Pray that the Itais haven't had a chance to bring up their artillery yet. Let's go. He grabbed Ras Golam by the shoulder and dragged him at an awkward run back towards where they'd left their armored car, parked on the crest of the first dune.
Get back in the car, Jake instructed Vicky. Keep the engine running. We'll bring up the other two cars. I want you in the center of the line, then go like hell. Don't stop for anything till we're in the gorge. You hear me?
Vicky nodded grimly.
Good girl,
he said, and would have turned away. But Vicky held his arm and pressed herself to him. She reached up and kissed him full on the lips, her mouth open and wet and soft and sweet.
I love you,
she whispered huskily.
Oh, my darling, what a hell of a time you picked to tell me.
I only just found out,
she explained, and he crushed her fiercely to his chest.
Oh, that's lovely, cried Sara from the turret above them. That's beautiful.
She clapped her hands delightedly.
Until later, whispered Jake. Now get out of here.
And turned her away and pushed her toward the car. He turned himself and ran lightly back into the dunes with his heart singing.
Oh, Miss Camberwell, I'm so pleased for you.
Sara reached down to help Vicky up under the hull.
I knew it was going to be Mr. Barton. I picked him for you long ago, but I wanted you to find out for yourself.
Sara, my dear, please don't say any more. Vicky hugged her briefly before dropping into the driver's hatch, or the whole thing will turn upside down again. Ras Golam was so tired and drained that he could move only at a creaking walk up the dune, even though Gareth tried to prod him into a trot. He plodded on up the dune, dragging the sword behind him. Suddenly, there was a sound in the sky above them, as though the heavens had been split by all the winds of hell. A rising, rattling shriek that passed and then erupted in a towering column of sand and yellow swirling fumes against the side of the dune ahead of them, 50 paces below the car that was silhouetted upon the crest.
Guns, said Gareth unnecessarily.
Time to go, Grandpa.
And he would have prodded the Ras again, but there was no need. The sound of gunfire had rejuvenated the Ras instantly. He leapt high into the air, uttering that dreadful screech of a challenge and hunting frantically for his teeth in the folds of his shammah.
Oh, no, you don't.
Grimly, Gareth forestalled the next wild, suicidal charge by grabbing the Ras and dragging him protestingly towards the car. The Ras had tasted blood now, and he wanted to go in on foot with the sword, the way a real warrior fights. And he was frantically searching the open horizons for the enemy as Gareth towed him away backwards. The next shell burst beyond the crest, out of sight in the trough.
First one under, second over,
muttered Gareth, struggling to control the Ras's wild lunges.
Where does the next one go?
They'd almost reached the car when it came in. Arcing across the wide lion-coloured plain, through the low grey cloud, howling and rattling the heavens, it plunged down at an acute angle, going in through the thin plating behind the turret of the car, and it burst against the steel floor of the cab. The car burst like a paper bag. The entire turret was lifted from its seating and went high into the air in a flash of crimson flame and sooty smoke. Gareth dragged the Ras down onto the sand and held him there, while scraps of flying steel and other debris splattered around them. It lasted only seconds, and the Ras tried to rise again, but Gareth held him down while the shattered hull of the car brewed up in a fiery explosion of burning gasoline, and the Vicar's ammunition in the bins began popping and flying like fireworks. It lasted a long time. When at last the crackle of ammunition died away, Gareth lifted his head cautiously. Immediately another belt caught and rattled away, with white tracer flying and spluttering, forcing them flat again. "Come on, Rassi," sighed Gareth at last. "Let's see if we can beg a ride home." At that moment, the ugly, well-beloved shape of Priscilla the pig roared abruptly over the crest of the dune and slewed to a halt above them. "God!" shouted Jake from the driver's hatch. "I thought you were in it when she blew. I came to pick up the pieces." Dragging the Ras, Gareth climbed up the side of the tall hull. "This is becoming a habit," Gareth grunted. "That's two I owe you." "I'll send you an account," Jake promised, and then ducked instinctively as the next shell came shrieking in to burst so close that dust and smoke blew into their faces. "I get this strange feeling we should move on now," suggested Gareth mildly. "That is, if you have no other plans." Jake sent the car plunging steeply down the face of the dune, turning hard as he hit the firmer earth of the plain, and setting a running course for where the mouth of the gorge was hidden by the smoky, writhing curtains of cloud and rain. Vicky Camberwell saw them coming, and she swung Miss Wobbly and gunned her onto a parallel course. Wheel to wheel, the two elderly machines bounded across the flat land, and the rain began to crackle against the steel hulls in minute white bursts that blurred their outlines as the next Italian shell burst 50 feet ahead of them, forcing them to swerve to avoid the fuming crater. "Can you see where the battery is?" yelled Jake. Gareth answered him, clinging to one of the welded brackets above the hatch, rain streaming down his face and soaking the front of his white shirt. "They're in the ground that the Gallus deserted. They've probably taken over the trenches I dug with such loving care." "Can we have a go at them?" Jake suggested. "No, we can't, old son. I sighted those positions myself. They're tight. You just keep going for the gorge. Our only hope is to get into the second line of positions that I prepared at the first waterfall." Then he shook his head sorrowfully, screwing up his eyes against the stinging raindrops. "You and this crazy old bastard." He turned his head to the Ras beside him. "You'll be the death of me, you two will." The Ras grinned happily at him, convinced that they were charging into a battle again, and deliriously happy at the prospect. "How do you do?" he cackled, and punched Gareth's shoulder gleefully. "Could be better, old boy," Gareth assured him. "Could be a lot better." And they both ducked as the next shell came howling low over their heads. "Those fellows are improving," Gareth observed mildly. "God knows they've had plenty of practice recently," Jake shouted, and Gareth rolled his eyes upwards to the heavy, bruised cloud banks. "Let there be rain," he intoned. And instantly the thunder cracked, and the clouds lit internally with a brilliant electric burst of light. The splattering drops increased their tempo, and the air turned milky with slanting, drumming lances of rain. "Amazing, Major Swales. I would not have believed it," said Gregorius Mariam from the turret above Gareth's head, and his voice was hushed with awe. "Nothing to it, my lad," Gareth disclaimed. "Just a direct line to the top." Rain filled the air in a white, teeming fog, so that Jake had to screw up his eyes against the driving needles, and his black curls swung in a sodden mass to his scalp. Rain wiped out the mountains and the rocky portals of the gorge, so that Jake steered by instinct alone. It roared against the racing steel hull and closed down visibility to a circle of 20 yards. The Italian shellfire stopped abruptly, as the gunners were unsighted. Rain pounded every inch of exposed skin, striking with a force that stung painfully, snapping against their faces with a jarring impact that made the teeth ache in their jaws and sent them crouching for what little cover there was on the exposed hull.
"Good Lord, how long does this go on for?" protested Gareth, and he spat the sodden butt of his cheroot over the side.
4 months, shouted Gregorius. It rains for 4 months now.
Or until you tell it to stop, Jake grinned wryly, and glanced across at the other machine. Sarah waved reassuringly from the turret of Miss Wobbly, her face screwed up against the driving raindrops, and the thick mane of hair plastered to her shoulders and face. Icy rain had soaked the silken chamois she wore, and it clung transparently to her body, and her fat little breasts showed through as though they were naked, bouncing to each exaggerated movement of the car. Suddenly the mist of rain ahead of them was filled with hurrying figures, all of them clad in the long, sodden chamois of the Harari. Carrying their weapons, they were running and staggering forward through the rain towards the mouth of the gorge. Gregorius shouted encouragement to them as they sped past, and then translated quickly,
"I have told them we will hold the enemy at the first waterfall. They are to spread the word."
And he turned back to shout again, when suddenly, with a startled oath, Jake braked and swung the car violently to avoid a pile of human bodies strewn in their path.